There is something strange happening in America's national parks. Thousands of people each year disappearing without a trace. Join me here on Spooky Island where I investigate Bigfoot, government cover-ups and extraterrestrial shenanigans from all over America and uncover people's true tales of horror. So get your tinfoil hats at the ready as it's time for Spooky Island Radio and the Missing 411 Case Files. Right, welcome back everyone to the Missing 411 Case Files. And yeah, it's my first episode of 2024. I can't actually believe I started this podcast in 2022. Like, who would have known I'd have been here doing this still? But yeah, welcome back to my little log cabin, where this week I have some seriously strange and spooky occurrences in a state I actually thought I'd been to before on the series. But I double checked and I definitely haven't. You know, most days I can barely remember what I have for breakfast or my own name, so I really had to go back and have a look, see if I've already been to this place. I was about to give it away then. So I've recently got into a TV show while I was doing some research, and stumbled across a TV show called The Alaska Triangle. It's on like Amazon Prime and Discovery Plus. But yeah, it's actually really good. Like, I hope my American listeners don't take this the wrong way, but like, I hate nothing more than like really over-the-top, like, American narrators on, like, documentaries and TV shows. Like, just really loud, really full-on, like, loads of, like, serious music and sound effects, and, yeah, just cannot stand it. But this series is really good. They've got, like, a really good American narrator. And the stories on there are, like, crazy. But yeah, so go watch it if you haven't seen it. It's called The Alaskan Triangle. So gives you an idea of where I'm going this episode. But the series is actually not too bad, and I'd recommend it. So it's on Discovery Plus, and that's basically one of the only channels I watch now, because it's basically got all the paranormal stuff on it. But yeah, the first episode was actually mind-blowing, and I thought I'd do a couple of episodes on some strange things happening there, because although a lot of what I'm going to go over in the next couple of episodes, it's more like anecdotal stories and sort of link with the Missing 411 or reasons for the Missing 411. So it's not direct stories. There is one in this episode and one in the next, but not multiple. But possibly the reason why the Missing 411 happened. There's like apparently like a Bigfoot community, abundance of UFO encounters and secret government bases and cover-ups. Alaska has it all. So I had to talk about it. So let's jump straight into it. Right, so a bit of a geography lesson of Alaska. And I know most of my listeners are American, so you probably already know this, but for everyone else, Alaska is America's 49th state and is in the very most northwest part of the USA. Yeah, it's like, it's ridiculous. Like, there's a part of Russia that, not part of Russia, a part of Alaska, which is separated by only 55 miles from Russia. And it's like, it must take what? An hour on a boat to get across it? But like, the time difference is insane. Like, it's 2 days apart. So like, I just find that insane. And at 663,000 square miles in total, Alaska is by far the largest state in the United States. Alaska is more than twice the size of the second largest state, which is Texas, and is larger than the three largest states, Texas, California, and Montana, combined. And the main reason I've researched the Alaskan Triangle is that it's estimated that 16,000 people have gone missing in the last 20 years. Like, it's just crazy, and that is people who were simply never found again. So that doesn't include people whose bodies were found. 16,000 people were just never found again, all their bodies. Like, they just disappeared off the face of the earth. Like, that's crazy. That's over. Is it over? just under, like, I can't do my maths, just under 1,000 people a year gone missing. Let me do the maths. No, it's just over 1,000 people a year have gone missing in the last 20 years. God, I've just got home from a long day at work and my mind is not functioning right now. But yeah, like, just a crazy statistic, and I just thought, I have to research this. So, the first human beings arrived in Alaska in about 13,000 BC, and at that time, Alaska was part of a land bridge that extended across to Siberia, and people followed the herds of animals that they hunted, and Europeans arrived in the area in the 18th century. In 1741, a Dane called Vitus Berling led a Russian expedition to Alaska, and they discovered that there was great wealth in Alaska in the form of animal furs. Unfortunately, they also brought disease. Unfortunate indeed. To the native people who had no immunity. The British arrived in 1778 when Captain Cook sailed there, and a man called George Vancouver sailed to Alaska in 1794. Meanwhile, in 1772, the Russians made a settlement at Unalaska, and then in 1784, they made a settlement on Kodiak Island. However, by the 1860s, the Russians had lost interest in Alaska. Overhunting had depleted the supply of furs, and it was difficult to supply bases such a long way off. So they decided to try and sell Alaska to the Americans. I mean, Russians being Russians, they're probably just going to, you know, storm Alaska at some point and take it, saying it's theirs, you know, because they like doing that. And in 1867, US Secretary of State William Henry Seward signed a treaty to buy Alaska for $7.2 million, which is less than 2 cents an acre. I have no idea what that means, but is that good? Probably is quite good, but probably bad for, I don't know. Who knows, but that's what they bought it for. The topology of Alaska is amazing. I mean, given that it is so huge, it has some incredible mountain ranges. And I have to say, the only real reference I have to Alaska is through pop culture and RuPaul's Drag Race. And there was a drag queen called Alaska. That's how she used to say her name. And she was like, hey. Yeah, but she's now known as Alaska Thunderfuck, which Mark finds hilarious. But yeah, that's how I know Alaska, through Drag Race. Moving back to the missing 411, there are 3,844 named mountains in Alaska, reaching a max elevation of about 20,000 feet, and that's Mount McKinley. Mount McKinley is the highest and the most prominent mountain. In fact, it is the third most prominent mountain in the world. Alaska is admirably referred to as the last frontier and the land of the midnight sun. But what it's really infamous for is incredible, craggy, high-altitude summits with rugged, wild terrain. And yeah, I was watching, there was this episode of the Alaskan Triangle with this Bigfoot man, which we might get into a little bit in the next episode, but he was walking around and it was daylight and he was like, yeah, so it's close to midnight, and he was like bagging trees and making noises, and I thought, what a fucking dickhead. Like, there's no Bigfoot responding to you there, mate, just call it a day and leave. But yeah, midnight sun, I don't know how I'd deal with that. I don't know if I'd ever be able to sleep. I'd need like full-on blackout blinds. But yeah, on a serious note, if you have seen the landscape, it's not hard to understand how people's imaginations can run wild with the idea that a population of Bigfoot could be living in this wilderness. And yeah, it is pretty plausible. And also, just like with Area 51, which is situated in a remote location, it's theorised that a remote alien base is located in Alaska too. And that brings us to the first story, which I find is so creepy, but actually quite believable at the same time. So, picture this. It's the 1970s and the Cold War is raging, and the word reaches the Americans that the Russians have recruited psychics to spy on them. Crazy, right? Well, the Americans thought, if the Russians are doing it, we're doing it. So Project Stargate was born. All that's come in my head is A Star Is Born from Hercules. Great film. Project Stargate is the collective or umbrella name for the United States government-sponsored remote viewing program. This involved advanced psychic functioning and remote viewing experiments and programs that were undertaken for over 20 years to create a trainable, repeatable, operational, and if at all possible, accurate method of psychic spying or information gathering for the US military and intelligence agencies. There was a famous man who took part in these experiments of psychic espionage, and his name was Pat Price. Now, Price joined the program after a chance encounter with a fellow Scientologist, and working with maps and photographs he provided to him by the CIA, Price claimed to have been able to retrieve information from facilities behind Soviet lines. He is probably best known for his sketches of cranes and gantries, which appeared to confirm to CIA intelligence photographs. At the time, the CIA took his claims seriously. So, in the clip that I watched when I was doing my research, they basically gave him a coordinate somewhere in Russia and told him to sketch out what he could see. And he basically sketched out this crane that they had a photo of. So that's sort of how they believed him. And I mean, he wouldn't just make that up. Like, there must have been something to it. But yeah, Price was working with the CIA. However, during one of their sessions where he was giving coordinates to a Soviet point of interest, Price claims that he was called by someone to another location, a location in Alaska. And people in the remote viewing world call this, it's like, it's an event or a place or a person calling out to them to make them aware of something. It kind of sounds to me like Danny from The Shining. Something shines and he can see it, or, you know, see it in his mind's eye. And in this case, Price was drawn to a mountain within the Alaskan Triangle. And this mountain was called Mount Hayes. It's directly in the middle of the triangle and is about around 14,000 feet tall, surrounded by glaciers and snow passes, which make it really difficult for people to hike to. Apparently, fewer people have summited Mount Hayes than Mount Everest, which I thought was a really interesting statistic. But Price was drawn to Mount Hayes, but more importantly, what he saw within the mountain. In the remote viewing session, he spoke about a hidden alien base deep within. He said that he could see these humanoid creatures working alongside members of the American government, and they were experimenting on people and animals. Are these people, are the people who got missing, who are sort of taken here? Do people who get too close to the mountain, or who are simply alone and in the wrong place at the wrong time, just vanish? I mean, I think it's very plausible. I mean, if you're out by yourself, I suppose there's no way to corroborate the stories of people vanishing apart from the fact they just don't turn up anywhere ever again. But, yeah, I think it's strange the fact that the CIA put so much trust in this guy to spy on the Soviets during the Cold War, and they said he was accurate and correct. Why would he make this really random thing up? You know, they believed him up until that point, so why would you not believe that he was drawn to this mountain, you know? And just when you think the story can't get even crazier, it gets crazier. Pat Price was on his own, staying in a hotel in Las Vegas in 1975. And, spoiler alert, he would never see the light of day again. Pat Price reportedly had a heart attack one evening, and his body was taken away and disposed of by the government before his family had even been notified. Was he getting too close to information he shouldn't have known? I mean, it was reported that he'd been told to keep his dealing with the CIA confidential, and that he was telling people in his Scientology congregation about what he saw. So, was he silenced? Did he get too close to an underground alien base, and the government had to silence him before it became another Area 51 with everybody knowing about it? Who knows, but it certainly is very, very strange. Now, I know you're all here for Missing 411 cases, so let's move specifically onto a Missing 411 case. And that is the case of Charlie Gogg. Now, it was the early 80s, and Charlie, who was a fisherman, had docked not far from the town of Sitka with some work colleagues, and he really wanted to hike up Mount Vestovia. It's around 3,000 feet, and it has a pretty well maintained trail to the summit. And July the 6th, at 3 p.m, he left his friends and said he would be back by 8 a.m. the next day. He took a large bag with a sleeping bag inside, and other supplies, and began his hike, and he was never seen alive again. When he didn't arrive back at the boat the next day, his friends went directly to the police, who took a few officers up the mountain to search for him. They reached the summit, and they found something interesting. It was his sleeping bag, and it looked like it hadn't been opened and was wet from rain the previous evening. They reported back and came back the next day with more officers, and they brought more officers from somewhere else that they brought over to try and find Charlie, and this included helicopters and a dog team to try and pick up his scent. Now, I know what you're thinking, we have all the ingredients of a missing 411 case here. Someone has vanished, and there's people searching and a dog team. What do we think? Do we reckon they're going to be able to pick up a scent? Probably not. Obviously, also, it's by water, it's right by the sea. So that's where we're at the moment. So, multiple searches were going on, and like I said, it's not the biggest mountain and trail. The dog's shocker could not pick up a scent. However, 1 mile away from where his sleeping bag was found at the summit, his clothes were also found. But like with other missing 411 cases, they were neatly folded on a plateau by the edge of a large drop. As they were collecting evidence, it was noted that a thick fog descended over the mountain, and they put down markers and abandoned the search for the day. They came back the next day after the weather had cleared, and with one last search in the helicopter, his body was found 700 feet underneath the plateau where his clothes were found, folded. The official story is that he got to the top of the mountain and then he's decided to start sunbathing. He fell asleep and rolled off the cliff to his death. Now, that's just fucking ridiculous. Like, whoever comes up with this stuff, whoever thinks people are going to believe this, like, I don't think people when they climb Mount Everest are like, yeah, fuck it, let's take all our clothes off and sunbathe. No. You want to get down the mountain as soon as possible, you know. If it's a nice day, like this isn't the biggest mountain, maybe you might, and it's hot, maybe you took your top off, wrap it around your waist and start walking down. I don't know. But like, to have his clothes neatly folded, David Pilatus often states that this is something that happens with alien abductions, that people's clothes are found neatly folded. Don't ask me why. I don't know if it's the aliens folded it, just leave them there. We'll drop him back here later. Or they enter the mothership or whatever, spaceship, with no clothes and they fold them themselves in sort of a trance. I don't know. It's very strange. But yeah, is there some kind of UFO activity in this part of the world? I mean, 16,000 people missing. A remote viewer finding a possible underground extraterrestrial base in Alaska. And yeah, it's just, it all adds up to some sort of alien or extraterrestrial activity going on in this area of the world. I mean, it's so remote, which is another thing, which is something that we'll be going into in the next episode. But yeah, you got to admit, something strange in this case of Charlie Gogg definitely fits the missing 411, so it's happening there as well. And yeah, let's finally get into some more mysterious UFO encounters in the mysterious state before the end. Now, there was this strange encounter that was spoken about on the Alaskan Triangle TV show. However, doing my research, I couldn't find any reports or evidence of this online, So take of it what you will, but I just thought it was a really cool story. So in 1978, a group of hikers were camping in some woodlands when they saw what they thought was an alien craft in the sky land down in a valley not far from where they were. And in the morning, they decided to hike down into the valley where they saw the craft the night before. They got to where it was, but it was gone. However, they knew they were in the right place because there were circular grass marks where it looked like something had been sitting on it overnight, and there were scorch marks in the ground. But this is where it gets really crazy. Apparently, there were a number of dead animals, mutilated, and all around them, and this included moose, bears, caribou, and even animals which are not native to Alaska, which is elk. So, like, how did it get there? You know, whether they're not known to be in that part of the world or not. But yeah, strange. But I know what you're saying, Andy. It's not too crazy. But there was another animal apparently reported there amongst the other mutilated fauna, and that was a killer whale. In the middle of a state, in the middle of a forest, there was a body of a killer whale. And I thought, I'm going to be able to find loads of evidence of this, loads of newspaper reports. You know, it's really newsworthy, but I couldn't find anything. So you have to sort of take what you will. Again, it's like anecdotal evidence, not actual evidence. But it's all around that same time, 1970s, you know. Was there an increase in activity there over this time? I mean, this is only the first part of the puzzle. So next episode will obviously be a full episode of Spooky Island Radio. And then the episode after will be part two of the Alaskan Triangle stories, where it sort of goes full circle and we get the full picture. Like at the minute, we're just going straight down the extraterrestrial route. You know, is there these bases somewhere in Alaska hidden? Like, why is there so much alien activity there? And in the second episode, you have to tune in for it. We're going to go really in depth as to why it's suspected that all this activity is going on there. And yeah, that's where I think I'm going to leave it for today. Leave you wanting more. Treat me and keep them keen, you know. But trust me, there is so much more to go through. But I need to do some more research into these Alaska stories. So next episode, it'll be in about a month's time. So stay tuned for that. This week, like I say, was more focused on conspiracies and alien encounters from the state. And the next episode, trust me, it just gets even crazier. We're talking about wormholes, planes, and ghost boats that vanish from the face of the planet. A bit of an idea as to whether the geographical location is the reason why all this activity is happening, and is it more natural than we think? And some more information on the Alaskan Sasquatch, which I am led to believe is pretty vicious compared to other Bigfoot and Sasquatch in the US. So also on the next episode, I'll go into that next episode. I was about to say, apparently Alaskan Sasquatch is really vicious and they mark their territory by upturning trees and they must be huge, and if they do exist, and apparently they really like snatching children and women especially from under their family's nose. So yeah, like I say, we'll be delving deep into these ideas and theories in the next episode, so stay tuned. So yeah, thank you all again for listening. That's us done for another day. Hope you enjoyed this one. Alaska, it's a huge subject. I could have done 4 or 5 episodes on it, but like I say, we've separated it, so it sort of makes a bit more sense to you, like the listener. I'm trying to sort of make the story here, you know, make it sort of cohesive. Thank you everybody for staying with me this long. I know you guys really enjoy these Missing 411 episodes, and I'm glad you enjoy them as much as I enjoy doing them. Hope you enjoyed the new sort of, I don't know if you noticed, but there's like a new intro and stuff. Just wanted to bring the podcast along to 2024 with all of us. Follow me on Instagram, Twitter. You can listen to this. I've not worked the video out yet, but you can listen to my podcast now on YouTube if you prefer that way. Just search for Spooky Island Radio. All my episodes are there. Thank you very much for listening again. And until next time, I'll catch you on the Flippity Flip. Bye.